Today we have a parable that Jesus told his disciples. It is a parable about prayer. Even though it doesn't quite sound like a parable about prayer at first. It has a tradition in the name of the church as the parable of the unjust judge or the parable of the persistent widow. Listen to the reading of God's word from the beginning of chapter 18 of Luke. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" May Jesus and our Lord bless our understanding of this passage. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think that prayer is always easy. There was a movie that talked about the need for to have even a war room for prayer. You remember that movie? Where that in that movie, Elizabeth went to her prayer closet to get real with God. A place where she and God were alone with no distractions. Now maybe it would be a good idea for all of us to have such a place. For we have tons of things to pray over, don't we? There is so much in this life to deal with. So much that tempts us to become discouraged. I don't know how a believer can make it through life without prayer. I really don't. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that believers are to pray without ceasing. So Christians should always pray. We should make it a daily practice to bring our needs to God. Yet knowing how important prayer is, we are so easily tempted to stop praying. We quit when things don't go our way. We leave when life gets uncomfortable. We pray, but when God doesn't deliver on our terms, we pout and give God the silent treatment. We never take our needs to God anymore. Yet knowing how important it is, why do we stop praying? Jesus knew that we would be tempted to push prayer aside. Jesus taught his disciples of all generations about the need to be persistent in their prayers. And he did this by telling this parable about a judge who didn't fear God or respect others. I don't know. Jesus is so good at this. Jesus takes the most despicable characters and he puts them in a parable. Just in the 16th chapter, you had the parable of the dishonest steward, which is a very difficult parable sometimes to understand. And here he has the parable of the crooked judge. Why does he have such a cast of characters? I'm quite afraid the reason is because they remind us of ourselves at times. Admittedly, we can be just like the judge. Self-centered and focused only upon ourselves, and saying deep within the recesses of our mind, I don't fear God. The parable is simple. A widow keeps coming to a judge seeking justice. Over and over again, she keeps coming to this man who didn't care for her or didn't care about carrying out justice. Still, the woman persisted like a fly buzzing around in the room. You ever had a fly in your house? Why does that fly always want to land on the things you don't want it to land on? Now, if you're like me, I can't stand to have a fly in the house. I have to get the fly swatter out. Or as I found out from Carol Pitts this morning in Alabama, they call it a fly flapper. I have to get that fly swatter out and I have to chase that fly all around the house. I can't stand that fly. They just buzz around bothering me. Well, I think that's a good image for what this widow was doing to this judge. This widow was buzzing around and bothering this judge all the time. The poor, including widows, which as you know, widows are some of the poorest of the poor in Jesus' time. They couldn't afford to hire someone to represent them in court. And without a man to represent them in court, they barely had any legal standing at all. Corrupt judges were the norm in Jesus' time, not the exception. Corruption and bribery were the normal, ordinary ways of doing business. And with widows lacking the money to bribe their judges, the widow has two disadvantages. Can't afford to bribe the judge, can't afford a lawyer to represent her. All she can do is show up day after day seeking justice against her enemy. Now we know what the judge is like. Jesus has already revealed it. The judge does not fear God and cares nothing for justice. Yet he confesses, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Attack me is what the message uses. The more common translation, which I like, I think a little better, is I will give her justice so she will not wear me out. The judge grants her persistent petitions. And though crooked and uncaring, he grants her justice. All because of her persistence. Jesus started this parable by saying it's a lesson on how believers should never give up in their prayers. So is this the way our prayers should be? Is the widow the image of a faithful prayer? Is God like the judge who only answers prayers after constant badgering? Well, some believe that prayer is all about convincing, persuading, sweet-talking, and wearing God down so that God will do what we ask. It is the idea that God is out there somewhere, but not necessarily here, that God is either unaware or uncaring about us and this world. So we have to persuade God to show up and act. And that will only happen if we're good enough, if we believe the right things, if we say the right words enough times. Well, I have trouble with such a view. I don't believe that is what is meant by Jesus when he tells us how to pray. In this parable, Jesus rejects that understanding of the relationship between God and his people. Let's make it clear. God is nothing like this unjust judge. God sees our suffering. God hears our cries. God quickly grants justice. The question is for us, though, when? I know there are things in your life that you have asked God for years to answer, but they've been left unanswered. I'm equally confident that because of your prayers being left unanswered, some of you might be tempted to kind of slow down or give up on praying. To live the widow's faith may be some of the most difficult and necessary work that we have to do as believers. To pray always and not lose heart. Just remember, Jesus does not ask us to do what he cannot do. He does not ask us to go where he has not already been. He has lived the widow's faith. He's also lived our faith. Our faith that at times seems shaky and prone to failing. But that's the way life is. When confronted with a difficult situation, be it an illness, a trauma, a crisis, a grief, we feel like the ground is about to fall out from underneath us. It's so shaky. We feel like we're falling. We reach out to try to grab something, anything. And even that doesn't seem like it's a very secure. Which is exactly the issue Jesus confronts in this parable. The question is, how can we survive the difficulties of life with our faith intact? Like the widow, how can we keep going when things get hard? I think the parable gives us insight into what we should do. I think we first have to understand that we live in the in-between times. I talk about that all the time. We live in the in-between times. We're the in-between generation. We're the in-between people. What do you mean, Pastor? I say that we are in between Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, and the time when Jesus will come back. We're in that in-between time. And let me give you a little something you probably don't understand about being in this in-between time. Life is not perfect in this in-between time. Now, see, the 8:30 service laughed at that. You already know, I guess. Life is not perfect in this in-between time. Our world is ruled by injustice today. At the end of Luke 17, Jesus compares this time, our time, to the time of Noah. You remember Noah? You know about Noah, right? He built that big boat. I think it's over in Kentucky or Tennessee or somewhere like that now, right? I would like to go see that, you know? I'd like to see just how big that thing is. Well, so you know about Noah. You remember the story of Noah building the ark. God told Noah to build an ark, saying that he was going to set things right in the world again. And Noah did. But he had to wait a long time for God to set things right. He didn't just build the boat and the next day it started raining. When I say a long time, I'm talking about decades going by. Decades and then more decades. In the meantime, life went on as usual around Noah. People woke up and they went to work. They cooked meals and they cleaned up. People were born and people died. I'm sure Noah was sometimes confused and impatient during this waiting period. This in-between time, in between what God told him to do, build an ark, in between the time when the rain starts, and the in-between time with us. Yet Noah kept the faith, and so should we. In this world, we are tempted to lose heart and become discouraged. We face discouragement every day. Things happen to us that are hard to accept, with relief hard to find. And the threat is that we will one day give it up. So Jesus finishes this parable with that question. When the Son of Man returns. We're so easy to overlook that last sentence. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on this earth? How do we keep going when it's so hard and when we're tempted to give up? I think the first thing to understand is that it's supposed to be hard right now. Don't be surprised. It's supposed to feel this way. It's the way life is. God never promised that living a life of faith would be easy. Have you had an easy life? Any of you? Raise your hand. You had an easy life? I don't see anybody. I haven't had an easy life. None of us have had an easy life. That's just the way life is. And the second insight from this parable is found in the behavior of the unjust judge. Incredibly, some people think that Jesus is suggesting that God is somehow like this judge. And in moments of suffering, I think it's tempting to allow ourselves to think that way about the goodness of God. We use the faulty reasoning that somehow, in some way, our moment of suffering is evidence that God is less than we believe God to be. And suffering will tempt us to doubt God's kindness and love. Suffering will tempt us to doubt His faithfulness. Even though we may never say it aloud, we may be tempted to accuse God of being unloving and unfaithful to His promises. It's like that moment in the movie, The Shack. The Shack is about a man whose little girl is kidnapped and murdered. And he can never get over that. I don't know how any parent would ever get over that. And he blames God for what has happened. And finally, in the climax of the film, where he has been brought into a mystical relationship where he can see God, he's asked to sit on the judgment seat and judge God for what God has done. I think a lot of us would like to judge God for what we have experienced in our lives. Here's what you need to know. As soon as you begin to question the character of God, you will find yourself lost. There will be no one you can go to for help. You will begin to no longer trust, which is the inside of this parable. God is nothing like the unjust judge. God will give justice to His children who cry to Him day and night. Jesus is saying that when you become God's child, you don't ever have to wonder whether God cares about you and your predicament. You don't have to wonder about whether God hears you or not. You don't have to wonder what God thinks of you. You don't have to wonder if God will give you justice and do what's right. God is for you. His judgments toward you are based on His goodness and His love for you. So come to Him believing that He cares. Which finally brings us to the final thing I want to tell you about this parable. You're going, wow. Thank you. The importance of prayer. If we really believe that God cares about our struggles and our mess, and that He's good and eager to hear from us, then we will come to Him messy. You ever been a child? You ever been around a child? You ever been around a child that is, you know, learning table manners? You ever been around a child that still can't use a fork or a spoon and uses their hands? They get a little messy, don't they, when they eat? The image I have is of a child eating spaghetti. It's just all over their face and everywhere. They're messy. Well, if we want to be honest with God, we will come to Him messy. Honest and struggling. We don't try to get the prayer just right. We don't try to say those nice little, formal words that religious people say when they pray. We just come to God and tell God what's on our mind. And that's what little children do. They come as they are, runny noses and all. And that's what disciples do. We come to God as we are, and we let God know how we really are, and we just say it. And your prayers may be the only thing. Your honest prayers may be the only thing that keeps you going in your life. So here it is in a nutshell. God cares. God wants us to pray with complete honesty. God is not distant or absent. God is good and gracious and loving and just. And the key to surviving our current mess is to pray to God, who is eager to hear from us and to set things right. And here is the clincher. Prayer always involves waiting. The widow's face showed us the importance of waiting. How long will we wait? When will it change? I don't know, but I do know that waiting, and if you can think of one thing you leave here today with, think of this. Know that waiting does not mean God is absent. Waiting on God to answer a prayer does not mean God is absent. Waiting does not mean God is uncaring. Waiting does not mean God is not active. You see, the widow did not wait on God. She waited with God. To pray is always what kept her from losing heart. It kept her showing up day after day, trusting that God would see and hear and act. And you know what? Her prayers were answered. And so it will be with us. Amen.